Good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good. I'm getting the lay of the land here. Just trying to see how much room I got, how much rope Rocky gave me. I'm excited to be here. Are you happy?
Yes.
To be honest with you, I am nervous. I'm anxious. My knees are awake. My knees are weak. My hands are sweaty. This is like a first date. You remember first dates? When Rocky asked if I'd speak, I said, absolutely. And I haven't stopped thinking about this day ever since. I've been thinking about what I'd say. Would I impress? What should I wear? Is my zipper zipped? Yeah, I'm good. Would they ask me back? Who knows? If you haven't guessed, this is my first time to preach ever. So bear with me. However, this has been a long day coming. It's been a long journey. 12 years, actually. And it's been filled with some real challenges. Let me share with you just a few. When I was first introduced to Mimosa Lane Baptist Church, I was waning in my resolve to find God's direction in my life. I had discovered my spiritual gift and passion for teaching God's Word. I was a lay leader in church. I was seeking what God would have me do. Prior to that, I had graduated from Dallas Seminary. God's will wasn't my will at the time. And I started working in a family-owned print shop, and I'm still working there, but I'm not family. All this time, I keep thinking, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? To this day, even now, folks, I wonder, what does God want from me? Will my life make a difference? Am I missing out on His best because I'm too responsible to take a risk? It's been a real challenge. And I wonder, what in the world am I supposed to do? My greatest fear, Rocky, we finished up a series on fear. My greatest fear, Rocky and folks, is that I will get to heaven, cast my crowns before the Lord for what He's able to do through me, and find it lacking. I wonder what you guys think about. Do you wonder what your life is about? Are you asking God for direction in your life? Students. Just starting out, are you asking that age-old question, what am I going to be when I grow up? I'm still asking it. Apparently, I'm never going to grow up. Or maybe you college students are asking yourselves, what am I going to do for a living? How about you senior adults? Are you looking back over your life? Or are you looking forward, seeking ways to finish well, to finish the race strong? Or how about those of us in the middle? I call them the striving and, what's that other word? Striving and surviving years. Raising kids. Thinking to yourselves, after balancing all of life's difficulties, is this what life's about? Or how about the sacrificing and, another word for sacrificing? I forgot. I'm nervous. I have no idea. But you're launching your kids, okay? And you're asking yourself, what's next? Or how about those sharing and succeeding years, facing retirement and looking ahead going, what's next? I believe that God wants us to lead an exemplary life, a life led by example. Let's look at scriptures and see how we can do that. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 16 and Philippians 2. Acts 16 and Philippians 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you go to Colossians, you've gone too far. Got it? You will need your Bible to see more that God has to say, but the scriptures are in the worship guide, and they're also on the screen. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I used to think this standing thing was a Baptist thing until I did my devotions in Nehemiah. And I read how God's people, the Israelites, stood for the reading of God's law all day. They also bowed down. What I learned is that worship is a posture. And standing for the reading of God's Word is an act of worship. So let's stand in worship of God through the reading of His Word. I'm going to use the large print Bible on the screen here. Acts 16, 1 through 3. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And Philippians 2. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You may be seated. Do you get dry mouth when you get up here? I learned that a good sermon is supposed to have 3 points and a prayer. So, let's get that out of our system. Ready? 3 points. An exemplary life lived by example is... Oh, you're beautiful. You're sexy. An exemplary life lived by example is examined, engaged, and extroverted. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you today. I am so excited to be here. I just pray that I'd get out of the way and let you get in there. I pray that you'd help me to be articulate, to not lose my train of thought, but more importantly, to present your word accurately and your truth. I pray that your spirit would be present to teach us. I pray that you'd move in the hearts and minds that are here in this room, Lord, that we would see your truth and know that you desire us to have an exemplary life. Lord, help us to know how. Help us to glorify you. Thank you that you love us. And for this morning together, I just pray through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, because apart from him, we can do nothing. Amen. I was also taught when you have a sermon that you're supposed to have illustrations. So here's a short list. 5 things I think are exemplary. 1, look on the screen here. Southwest Airlines. Okay, they're going places. When all the rest of the airplanes were either stumbling or failing after 9/11, Southwest Airlines was moving on. They were profitable. If you want to start your own airline company, that's a good model to take after. Now, when my son Ben heard that I was going to get to preach or teach today, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Dad, you cannot ride your motorcycle into church that day for the first time." So I brought a picture. There's my baby. She's pretty. As much as I like Harleys, guys, I love Harleys. As much as I like Harleys, I learned that you either have to have a lot of money or you have to know how to work on them. So I went with the Honda. It's reliable. Now, what makes this one exemplary is my wife bought it for me. And just a hint for you wives out there. Okay? Don't hate her. For you rockers out there, and I don't mean nursery workers, if you want a screaming guitar, the Fender Stratocaster is the one that's the standard. You want to make a guitar? There's your model. All right? Bluebell ice cream. Woohoo! There you go. The best ice cream in the country. If you want to make ice cream, there's your competition. I confess to you this morning, in preparing for this, I was going to go buy those neat little cups of ice cream for everybody to take after the service. Better heads prevailed. My wife said, "You've got to be kidding." And I said to myself, that's not really what I want them to take away from this message. What I really want you to take away from this message is that you and I today can live an exemplary life. An exemplary life lived by example. Timothy is our character study. Let's take a look at Scripture and see what's there. Number one, an exemplary life lived by example is examined. Paul's on his second missionary journey. We're in Acts 16. Paul's on his second missionary journey, having parted company with Barnabas over a disagreement about John Mark, who bailed on the first trip. And Paul shows up in Derbe and Lystra, verse 1, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. We're introduced to Timothy as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We read that his mother is a believer, but his dad is not. We also know in 2 Timothy that Timothy's mother was not only a believer, but so was his grandmother. He had a godly heritage. Just a note to you moms out there. Moms, whether you're working or staying at home, your influence on your children is great in this regard. The impact that you have on your home is immeasurable, regardless of whether your mate is a part of it. God's blessing on you moms. Timothy had an advantage. He had a godly heritage. Maybe you don't. That shouldn't prevent you from growing more like Christ. Where are you in your spiritual journey? It's question number one. Where are you in your spiritual journey? For some of you, your spiritual life is nothing more than Sunday morning. For some of you, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, you name it. But come Monday, it's null and void. What's up with that? For others of you, maybe a few, you haven't even started your spiritual journey. You haven't even started a life in Christ. Today is a day when you need to decide that. For some, the question is, you're about to walk away from the faith. Statistics tell me, young people, high school, college, that you're about to walk away from the faith. Don't go. Please stay. But make it your own faith. Not mine, not your parents, not this church, not this denomination. There's only one God and there's only one faith. You need to make it your own. Don't go. Please stay. Carol and I's greatest desire, having three boys, was that their faith would be their own, not ours. We would only inhibit them. Our desire is that our sons would have a faith that they could call their own and that they could walk on. Verse number 2, the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. What are others saying about you? Question number 2, what are they saying about your life? I was in David Dresser's ABF a couple of weeks ago, and he was sharing how he had a class assignment and he was supposed to write the epitaph of a friend who was still alive. It was a little bit of a challenge. But if someone were to write your epitaph, what would it say? What would your family, your coworkers, your friends, what would they say about you in your epitaph? If you wrote it, are you living it? What are other people saying about you? We need, or we should, examine our own lives to see if we're living an exemplary life by example. An exemplary life lived by example is engaged. Engaged in willing service. Acts 16:3, verse 3, it says, Paul wanted to take him, Timothy, along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. They all knew that his father was a Greek. Paul wanted to take Timothy along the journey. Apparently, Timothy was willing to go. He was willing to say yes to the opportunity presented. How often do you say yes to a service opportunity? My personal philosophy is, say yes all the time unless there's a real reason to say no. Addressing Mesquite is on October 10th. It's coming up. Are you going to participate? We need every hand on deck. I'm asking you, will you help at Addressing Mesquite? Notice the extent that Timothy was willing to go. Easy for Paul, difficult for Timothy. Says there, Paul had him circumcised. Apparently, Timothy was willing to go in on that. He underwent circumcision, putting aside his own comfort and cultural preference for those he would serve. We believe the vision for this church is to look more like the community, to look more like heaven, red and yellow, black and white. Are you willing to give up your prerogatives to eliminate the barriers, to expand the ministry and the extent of what God's doing here? Remember, it's God's will in heaven done on earth. Are you willing to give up your prerogatives to eliminate the barriers and extend the work of God here? Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, we're going to move on here. Verse 19 through 22. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, calling for humility and unity. He upheld Christ as our supreme example. Then he used himself, Timothy, and Epaphroditus as role models. Timothy was the example of selfless service. Verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Now, this may refer to Paul being Timothy's spiritual father, introducing him to Christ or leading him to Christ, perhaps on the first missionary journey. Maybe it's Timothy being the son that Paul always wanted. We're not quite sure, but I believe within the context of Philippians 2 that Timothy is an illustration of the sonship of Christ and the relationship that Jesus had with God the Father. Verse 6 in Philippians 2, look there, it says, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I think Paul was using Timothy as an illustration for what Jesus and God were doing, working out our plan of salvation. Christ is our ultimate example. Bottom line, Christ is our ultimate example. You may say, well, I'm not Jesus, or I'm not Paul, but we can all relate to Timothy, and Timothy imitated Christ through selfless service. It's important to realize that selfless service cannot be separated from caring for others. They go hand in hand. An exemplary life lived by example is extroverted. Now, I don't know if you can read that up there, but I've got a definition for extroverted. Most of us think extroverted means outgoing, you know, gregarious, the complete opposite of me, who's a curmudgeon. Okay? What I mean by extroverted here is an individual interested in others to the exclusion of self. Got that little dictionary thing there. It's interested in others to the exclusion of self. Paul was writing to the whole church in Philippi and said in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Timothy followed the example of Jesus and embraced selfless service for others. In verse 2 in our text there, in verse 20 in our text, Philippians 2:20, it says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy's unselfish concern for others reflected his interest in the things of Christ. How can we put the interest of others first? It requires a willingness to sacrifice our own comfort and preferences. It requires a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of us, from the oldest to the youngest, are capable of obeying this word of God if we are willing to put aside self. Serving others is living an exemplary life. Let me say that again. Serving others is an exemplary life. So how do we live an exemplary life serving others? Turn to 1 Timothy 4. It's on the screens, but turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul writing to Timothy and encouraging him in his ministry and work He says in verse 12, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." We live an exemplary life serving others by example. The first one, in speech, speaking for God, saying what you mean and meaning what you say. Being an example in speech. Two, in life or conduct, how you behave, how you act. Are you embracing godly attitudes and actions? Do you practice what you preach? In love, my definition for love is an attitude of self-sacrifice resulting in an action toward another. Love is not a feeling. It is an attitude of self-sacrifice resulting in an action for another one. I get that right out of the Philippians 2 passage referring to Christ. An example in faith, believing that God is and rewards those who seek Him. Hebrews, believing that God is and rewards those who seek Him. And finally, in purity, unstained by the world and sin. A heart focused and devoted on the things of God, not the things of this world, unstained or of sin. We can lead an exemplary life, a life lived by example in service to others. Randall, come on up. This is a short one. Bring your team. It's a time to reflect and a time to apply. You cannot live an exemplary life until you start an eternal life in Christ. If you haven't done so, you can do so right now where you sit. A simple prayer of repentance, calling on the name of Jesus for forgiveness, will start you an eternal life. If you do that today, please let us know. We want to celebrate your new life in Christ. The pastors will be up front here to talk to you about that. The next step is obedience, or to be baptized. If you're ready to make your testimony public and to share with us how God's grace has worked in your life, let us know about that. We'll get it done. Maybe you're ready to join this church. You're ready to join this family of believers who will help you in your walk with Christ. Today might be the day for you. But now is a time for all of us to reflect and to heed what God is asking us to do. What needs to change or conform in your life to be more like Christ in the life you're living? Is it time to start a personal Bible devotion? Is it time to sit down with your kids before school or before bed and begin that godly heritage? How about saying yes to the next opportunity for service? We all lead by example. Who will you choose to serve today? Your spouse? Your kids? Parents? What about tomorrow? Your employer? Your employees? Your students? Teachers? Who's it going to be? You need to decide now. Who are you going to serve? And how? You can do it in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity of heart. Who and how? Now's the time to act. Now's the time to decide. Timothy was a good role model. Do you have role models to look at? Who inspires you to seek Christ faithfully? Rocky, Bob, Gilbert, join me up front. Here's three, folks. Gilbert, Rocky, is Bob here? Come forward. These are my role models. These are my Timothys. Affirm them with me, please. These men have proven themselves in the gospel ministry, and I am certain without a doubt that they are interested in your well-being. Rocky, Bob, Gilbert, boss, my hope is that God will bless you with tasting the fruits of your ministry now before you enjoy them fully in His presence. Am I brown nosing? Am I kissing up? Absolutely. I want to do this again. I promise I'll be better. I want them to know that I love them. But how about you? Is anybody looking at you as a role model? Pray today that God will enable you to live a life that's exemplary and that He'll enable you to look like Christ and be a capable person to imitate. Now's the time to decide. Now's the time to act on how God's leading you. These men are here to receive you. I'm going to go back to my post. Randall, let's sing.